Welcome to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
You can follow us on all social media channels at Game Mis with a Z Conduct. Dory, who's our guest this week?
Yeah, very excited to have our good friend now with The Athletic, which I'm very interested to talk to him about that. Our good friend, Joe Smith, who covers the Tampa Bay Lightning. Hey, Joe, thank you with all your crazy airport hopping and everything else during this road trip for taking some time to come on with us.
Absolutely. Just part of the deal here at Minnesota Airport, waiting for my flight to Chicago for this long road trip. So I'm always happy to be with you guys.
Awesome. Thank you. Hey, real quick, how's it going over there at The Athletic? It's very interesting. I will say that. I really like the way everything's getting covered. You have a lot of really good writers, a lot that people know from this area that are now writing there. So how's that going so far for you?
It's been going great. Like, I started April 1st, right before the playoffs, and a really good push there. And now we're in all 31 hockey markets, and we're all baseball and football markets, and covered the NBA and fantasy football and baseball. So pretty much got everything covered in North America and even soccer, too. So exciting to see something in journalism grow and expand and have fresh and new ideas. And, you know, let's be honest, tough time in the industry, and we all want to be part of it as long as we can. And it's exciting to be part of something that's such collaboration and growth and just trying something different. You know, we don't do the typical, newspaper coverage, which we try to take the best of the newspaper coverage and bring it onto our app and website, while also, you know, so taking the time to do a lot of things that we love to do the most versus things that were more obligations before. And I think that's where you see some of the best work done, is when people take time to do things that they wouldn't have time to do before, with the deadlines and space issues and such like that. And so it's been a blast.
Yeah, definitely. I really think it's very creative, very open, very just a different. It's just different. You guys are all great journalists as it is, but you get to see like a different side to your work. And I think that's really cool. All right. Well, let's get into this, because you are literally almost walking on a plane right now. So I want to get right to it. Speaking of these, these travel schedules and everything, we always, and everybody talks about the Lightning's kooky schedules. I actually like the start of the season. I think it's cool that they got to play all those games at home, came away with a real good home record. The longest, if I'm not mistaken, it's the longest road trip this season that you're in the middle of right now, correct?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I think this is...
Yeah, it's the long...
89 days, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's kind of good to get these crazy long home stands and travel, you know, schedules out of the way. What do you think about, you know, how the team looks at it and you know, you guys that are jumping all over cities? How do you feel about getting it out of the way now?
I don't mind going to cold cities in October as opposed to in January, December, that's for sure. But I think overall it was a weird schedule, just because they had two games in the first 9 days where everybody else had played four or five games. So that was a little bit of a different thing for them. And, you know, fortunately for the Lightning, they found a way to win 4 out of 5 in a homestead that didn't play their absolute best. But I think now that they're getting settled into this road trip, you'll start to see more normalcy in their schedule. And I think they'd rather take this than what you just saw the Minnesota Wild go through, which is 2 back-to-backs in like the same week, where they had 4 and 6 nights. And they were a home team coming in, hosting a back-to-back with the visiting team was waiting for them at their own city. So I think the Lightning would rather take this one versus that one any day of the week.
All right, and talking about the Minnesota game, there is some really interesting things that I think a lot of Tampa Bay Lightning fans aren't aware of. And one of them was Saturday night's game was the first point the Lightning have taken while in Minnesota in 13 tries.
It's been pretty incredible.
Yeah, so what is the problem with Minnesota? What is the Lightning? Why do they give the Lightning so much fits? Now, usually, if I'm not mistaken, the Minnesota part of this trip is usually kind of like a sneak-in. I'm thinking last year, it was kind of like, you know, they went to Chicago. It's always that Chicago trip. But it was like snuck in. It always seems like it's like snuck in there. Now they open it. Like you said, Minnesota coming off that, you know, they're back-to-back. But what is it? It can't be the travel. These guys can travel. What is it with Minnesota that gives them so many fits?
Well, I think, first of all, if you've ever been to a game in Minnesota, it's incredible atmosphere. It's very loud. They have a really great home record for the last number of years for a reason. And usually they're a pretty good team. They're not a dominant team or always a tough contender, but they have a lot of talent and usually pretty good goaltending. So I think overall, it's the building, the atmosphere, the momentum can turn quickly like it did last night, Lightning had a 3-1 lead, and all of a sudden you saw the Minnesota Wild come out second period and really take over, and the crowd joined them, and it went on from there. So, yeah, I think it's a tough building to play in. Like Cooper Cup, one of the top three, top those buildings to play in, and overall they've had some tough luck in the building as well, and then I think overall it just it builds from there. But I think they had a really good chance last night to get their first win since 2011, and let one slip away. And a lot of the guys afterwards were kind of lamenting the fact they kind of let them off the pedal there, and you know, didn't come out ready to play for the second, and all of a sudden they found themselves in a dogfight that they ended up losing. They got a point out of it, which is obviously good for a sort of a long road trip, but it was something about them. Felt a little disappointed with how it ended.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk to you about that. Coach Cooper, Anton Strawman, I mean, everybody after the game, you know, you were there talking to them, were all talking about not playing a complete game, taking their foot off of it a little bit, relaxing, getting comfortable, and it came back and bite them. Now, they did come back and you know, fight to tie it up there. But... you know, how was there, was it a disappointing feeling for them afterwards? Like, we know we did this. This is our fault. No, not disrespecting Minnesota. But how was their general, you know, perception of their attitude after the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the disappointment is the right word for it, or, you know, you feel like they let one slip away. I mean, to get a point on the road is always a good thing, but it was just kind of more the process of how they got there. Not like they came back from behind and it was a rallying effort and forced a point. They felt like they salvaged a point. They may not have deserved it after how they played the final 60 minutes, or final 40 minutes of the game. So it's one of those things where it's early in the season, and you like to think that those kind of things, that kind of mentality would kind of get away from it later on as you go through the course of the season, because you can't afford to do that later on. Yeah. You know, every point counts, every point matters. But this is a veteran team that knows better, and they feel like that they you know, they'll do better next time, they hope, at least in this particular point, because they had this game in control. The first period, probably one of the better periods I've seen them play this year as a whole, and they just kind of forgot the process that got them there, and it hurt them.
All right, yeah, it is a veteran team, but I like the way it's put together. I mean, you just kind of get the, you know, watching it and reading it, I just kind of got the feeling like they were like, well, we're to blame for this one, and we'll figure it out, and we're not going to, you know, play that way again. But the one really thing that's worried me or I've been concerned about this year is the amount of the shot differential. The Lightning have been outshot a lot this season. Minnesota was the first game they won being outshot. I felt, you know, this is going to come up. This is going to catch up to them at some point. You just can't keep, you know, allowing teams to outshoot you night in and night out, and you're going to win every single game. It doesn't work that way. What are your thoughts on them being outshot this season? And, you know, aside from the easier shot of, you know, the easier answer of take more shots, is there a deeper, you know, answer to this quandary?
Well, I think overall it's not necessarily all about just shot attempts or shots. It's more about, like, quality chances and dangerous chances. And I think that, you know, there have been times this year they've given up too many of those kind of really great looks that, you know, a lot of times, even beginning of last year, they depended on Vasilevskiy a lot to make those 10 bell saves, as they call them. And he made a few of them in the middle of the second period yesterday, since it's been a tied game before that. You know, problem was last night, Vasilevskiy was either spectacular or he maybe let up a goal he probably shouldn't have. And, you know, that the Lightning has to understand and realize if, you know, it kind of shows a margin for error. If Bethel is more human on certain nights, they might have to fight to win the game, because that's just, if they give up so many kind of quality chances on that way, that it could come back to hurt them. So fortunately for them, they've been really good on the penalty kill. Still, like 24 for 24 for the season, and that's been a big bright spot for them. But I think in general, it's less about, you know, unless it's an overwhelmingly shot advantage or giving up 30 some plus shots a game. I think you're more worried about those high danger chances or the grade A scoring chances. And if that's what, how kind of coaches create each game, is by scoring chances against and high quality scoring chances. If you outchance the team by 2-1 in that category, then I think you're in pretty good shape. But overall, it's those ones that you give up that you know you shouldn't give up, as far as the odd man rushes and the turnovers in your own zone. Those are the ones you're more worried about.
And you can't help those, you know, sneaky redirects and all those. I mean, that's just the hockey gods talking to somebody. That has nothing to do with, you know, Vasilevskiy or whoever's in goal. I mean, those things just, unfortunately, they just they just happen. And they've happened, you know, in favor of the Lightning this season as well. So it goes back. Well, I just call that like the hockey god shots. There's nothing you can do about those goals. Now, you did bring up the penalty kill. We have to talk about this. This penalty kill, I mean, like you said, so far they're 24-24. It's so weird when you look on like the stats pages on NHL.com and it goes, you know, penalty kill leaders, and it's Tampa Bay Lightning 100%. But to go from last season to this season, what do you attribute this massive, holy heck? I mean, these guys are scary.
It's a sore spot for them, and you know, guys kind of called it embarrassing. You know, I think they just lost a lot of their confidence after giving up 4 power play goals in Vegas in January, kind of went on from there. So I think that was one of the major areas of emphasis in the offseason. They made some coaching changes with Bonus and Lauer out. And right now you have Jeff Lalonde and Todd Richards kind of a 1-2 combo for the penalty kill. And you're seeing it quite differently, a different look, too. I did a video breakdown on Athletic earlier this week kind of showing how they're different and why they've
had a
strategy. And basically a lot of it's based on being more aggressive, especially up the ice. You have guys like Matthew Joseph and Anthony Cirelli and Corner who are so fast, and they've done a great job of before the other team gets in their zone or just a neutral zone, just forechecking really hard and making them make some tough decisions early on. Don't let them have that, those little drop passes that everybody else does. So they've done a great job with that. And that's kind of bled into their own zone where they've been a little more, you know, threatening, more aggressive, as opposed to maybe previous years where they were more in that box, kind of the safe, kind of following in unison there. They kept their structure, but also been aggressive, and, you know, Vasilevskiy's been good, and Domingue's been good on the PK, and they found a way to get all their clears, and their faceoffs have been 8% better than they were last year and shorthanded. So it's a combination of things, but overall, once you start off so strong, I think this is only going to be better for them going forward, because they have that confidence now, and they have that little bit of swagger as a unit that they was like last year where they felt like they'd kill a penalty for 1 minute and 58 seconds, and all of a sudden go in off a stick blade or off a skate. So I think they've feel a lot of the different things are different this year with this group, and they kind of reset their mentality, and it's going well so far.
All right, we are talking to Joe Smith, the Tampa Bay Lightning reporter, beat reporter for The Athletic. It's columnist, it's everything. You're doing a lot, and it's neat to see. I love it. I've always been a fan of when you just, you know, kind of write your own, you know, not human interest stories, but those non-gamey things I've always been a fan of. So I'm really glad that you're able to like open up a little bit more and do that. So not to really dwell on the penalty kill as much, but I do kind of want to say one of the biggest penalty killers they've had traditionally in the last few years is Ryan Callahan. We know that he's had some injury problems, issues, minor, whatever. I'm such a Ryan Callahan fan. I don't like talking about the injury. I don't like talking about any of it. But, you know, unfortunately, it's part of the job here. He looks really good in his first few games back. What is the difference to him? I feel like he just seemed to not rush it this time. Like, he kind of let it take its time and really worked on it. Because we're seeing Ryan Callahan, and granted, it's only been a few games, but we haven't seen this Ryan Callahan in a while.
Well, he's got two working shoulders, which helps. last year, he played with that torn labrum in his right shoulder from December on, basically since that game in Arizona when he crashed into the boards. And I still thought one of the better players lighting in the playoffs, even with that hurt shoulder. And that line was one of the better ones, more consistent ones in that conference final against Capitals, really creating some chances and really good defensively. So I know injuries have hurt him over the last number of years. He had the two hip surgeries because the first one, some stitches came out. They had to redo it again. But when he's healthy, he's one of those guys that his energy and his aggressiveness and his forecheck really rubs up on everybody else. He kind of pulls guys into the fight, as Cooper often says. And you need those guys on a team that's not very physical, a team that's not very big. But he just has that about him that he kind of, you know, brings guys into that. So, and to have him playing healthy and have a good shooting shoulder, maybe he'll get into some offense this year. They had a goal last night. It was a great redirection when he got cross-checked in the back and he was falling down, and he still managed to get it in for that first goal of the game. So, I think it'll take time for him to get his timing back. But overall, you know, they're a much better team when he's on the ice, you know, no matter how much he scores. So it's a good sign to have him back, and they're hoping he only gets better.
And the other thing I think it doesn't get really talked about when it comes to Ryan Callahan a lot is his vision of the ice. He really just seems to have, like, know where the puck's going to be, know where it's going to go. There are times, and I've talked about it on our show so many times, that I've watched the puck go somewhere, and I see him just kind of turn his head like, there's the puck, and I'm like, oh, we're going to score. They're going to score right now. He just seems to have a really great awareness and vision of at all times. And, you know, you've talked to him, I've talked to him since he's gotten here. He's a bright guy, he's a smart guy, and you feel like you're really talking to a guy who's a leader. And I think he brings that, too, that doesn't get, you know, brought up as much. Because we talk about Steve Stamkos wearing the C and, you know, Hedman being a leader and Strawman being a leader. But, you know, Callahan's a leader, too.
He is. I mean, he's been there. He's done that. He's very experienced. You mentioned he's a very smart hockey player and great anticipation and great hockey sense where he can, you know, he's not maybe as fast as he used to be. And he's not the scoring threat he used to be, but he can still find ways to make an impact on a game and find those dirty areas to score goals. So. And you're right. He's a very well-respected guy in that room. I mean, there's a ton of leaders, not just Stamkos and Hedman. And I know before they had Kunitz and the Boyles of the world. But, I mean, Callahan's been a constant, a guy that the people watch and they kind of learn from him. Just, you know, when he's bringing it like he is, he's blocking shots, he's taking hits. Like, he's the guy that people kind of, you know, kind of want to model themselves after. And when he's playing like that, the other team, the whole team kind of tries to play like that. So, you know, just have him in the room is a very beneficial thing for them, knowing that's going to be a very difficult year and one with a lot of expectations. And there'll be some ups and downs. There'll be a losing streak. There'll be time to take a dip here and there. But he's one of those guys that kind of helps give a calming influence in that room. And they hope that it could be a payoff for them down the road.
All right. So before I let you go, I have to ask you this. I know it's everybody is just really impressed so far, but we've seen this from this guy. Yanni Gourde is currently leading the Lightning in scoring. He has always been a fun player to watch. What difference do you see from him last year to this year? Is it just growing? Is it just a little bit more maturity? Is it there's so much focus on Kucherov and Stamkos and Johnson that, you know, the matchups? What is it about Yanni Gourde that he's just really, really playing impressively well so far?
Oh, he is. He's playing the Yanni Gourde style. I mean, I don't think his style or his game has changed too much. He's very consistent. Like him and Brayden Point are very consistent guys that don't really go into slumps because they have that effort and they find ways to go to those dirty areas. They find ways to forecheck and create chances. And Gourde got one. He also got an assist. And, you know, I think the stat was really telling to me. I think 21 of his last 28 goals were within 20 feet of the net, which goes to show you where he's doing all his damage. And it's hard to go in slumps when you're in those areas. So that just shows you, for a guy who's 5'9", 5'8", not afraid to go, you know, bang with the big boys and take some hits and find some juicy rebounds. So when you play like that and that's how your game is, you're not a perimeter player, you're going to be consistent. You're going to be finding yourself scoring 25 goals like you did last year. And one of the bigger bargains in hockey at $1 million a year. And until next summer, when he'll get paid, I'm sure.
So we haven't really asked you yet this season about the new face on the team, really. He was in the system, but really, Lightning fans are getting to see how impressive of an athlete he is. Matthew Joseph, what are your thoughts on him and his contributions he's made so far?
He's been extremely impressive. I mean, I think he had one of those camps where you thought he had a chance to make the team, but he had to prove it. And he kind of forced his way onto the team like I think Brayden Point did it 2.5 years ago. And they had no choice. And then he got into the lineup the opening night, and all of a sudden you're seeing him playing the penalty kill and see him play an overtime shift in your debut. Like, I think that shows a lot of trust from the coaching staff to put him in those situations. He opened overtime last night with Cirelli, 3-on-3. He's a very smart player. He's a very fast player, one of the fastest players on this team other than Brayden Point. And he really uses his stick well. He really has good instincts. And you're seeing him, for a rookie in his first NHL experience, really not seem like it's too big for him. And a lot of reason why they had all those roster moves this week with putting Konecker on waivers and getting with Syracuse and putting Marchell down for a conditioning assignment is that they had no way to take Joseph out of this lineup. He made it so that he made the team better and helped them win, so they couldn't take him out. So other guys who are maybe more veteran guys had to take a seat or get sent down to Syracuse, and that's really telling for him. And he'll have a dip at some point this year as a rookie. Everyone does, but it's a very encouraging knowing you have to kind of replace some guys who will be making a lot more money in the coming years of the cap crunch to have guys on entry-level deals like him who could be style at everyday contributors.
All right, Joe. So we know you're getting ready to board a plane. So as we wrap up, remind everybody where they can read your articles and find you on social media.
Absolutely. It's on theathletic.com, and go to athletic.com and go to Tampa Bay is where the Lightning section is. Also have Rays and Bucks coverage too. And Joe Smith, at Joe Smith TV is Twitter handle, and look forward to having a good piece tomorrow on Ryan McDonough. Our profile on him was in his hometown this past weekend.
Oh, cool.
Of St. Paul and kind of his childhood and all that stuff. So it'll be a fun read for you for
yeah, definitely.
Morning. So thanks again for having me. And
hey,
we'll do it again.
Travel
soon.
Safe.
Thank you so much, ladies. Talk to you soon.
Always great talking to Joe Smith. So we're going to take a quick break and be back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're back with more Game Misconduct. Don't forget, you can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. All right, so we just spoke with Joe Smith, who was actually, that interview was recorded on Sunday morning as he was getting ready to board a plane from Minnesota to Chicago.
Yeah, unfortunately, the magic of radio.
Yes, the magic of radio. So, you know, airport background.
Yeah.
You gotta love that. But it's good talking to him, and I've really kind of enjoyed the stuff that he's had coming out of The Athletic.
I have too. It's if you know anybody out there, really honestly, it you're getting a different side to these guys. It's stuff that you don't see.
Yeah, and the article kind the kinds of articles that they're putting out, you know, like you said, their game recaps, their game stats, but they're also human interest stories that they're writing as well. Mm-hmm. And there have been a couple articles like the Robin Leonard article, which we had talked about before. And I just read the Kyle Okposo article from late September about all the struggles he had been dealing with his health. These are just riveting pieces of literature almost. Mm-hmm. And I'm blanking on who that writer was for that article, but that's the kind of stuff you're getting from The Athletic. So it's good stuff.
And the Player Tribune, if anybody,
yep.
They've been putting out a lot of really cool, their stuff though is more from the player's perspective,
right.
Which is the whole point. Love the Player's Tribune. I've been following it for a couple years now, and
yeah.
I love it. But I got to say something that I really respect the former hockey players and the current hockey players that are still out there is I really appreciate and have so much respect for the way that they're all opening up about these struggles.
Yeah.
You know, the head injury struggles, the dependence issues, substance abuse I'm talking about, that they're so open about it. And I think that's how things change.
Right. And they get better.
And they get better. And I really applaud the hockey players. And it seems like it's been like the last year almost, and I'm not throwing it all on Sean Avery, okay, because I don't need no hate tweets. But I wonder if his book sparked things because he was very open.
He was very open, but things started to come out before that, you know, because there's a huge mental health issue problem in this country and around the world because people just don't want to talk about it. And people are now starting to talk about it. So I think it's starting to help and people are more open and it's all. Hopefully good stuff.
Yeah, I think Derek Beauregard, like a few years ago, that really hit people because he was such a beloved teammate with so many and such a, you know, fun-loving guy. But I really, really applaud hockey players, I want to say, more than other athletes in other professions. No offense to them. Just I really love the way that hockey players are being open about it. I think it's cool.
No, it's great. Do you want to talk about the Lightning? Because they've been pretty fantastic lately.
Yeah. Like I said, I said it to Joe, and I'll say it to everybody else. I enjoy the way the season's played out. I like the home stretch. I know the two games were a little wonky. I get that. The whole, you know, now we have this massive rest period. But I like that they're getting this road trip out of the way because this is the road trip. The Minnesota-Chicago, this road trip is the one that traps them every year. If you go back and look, it's this one where they're struggling.
Right.
And it's usually mid-season when they do on this one.
Right.
I love they're getting this one out of the way.
Yeah, it's the teams that they don't see very often, mm-hmm. and we may see some of them at the end of the at the end of the year, you know, in late May.
Mm-hmm.
But I like, yeah, I think it's, you know, they've had so many games at home, and it's not like these guys don't know each other. I mean, they're very familiar faces.
Right.
Matthew Joseph's the only somewhat new face, you know, Martel, but they're kind of getting to get out of town together. And getting to bond, and it's early in the season, and they're going to these really cool cities, and I think it's cool. Actually, was it Friday night? Yes, Friday night, Andrei Vasilevskiy, Mikhail Sergachev, and Nikita Kucherov, they were posting on their Instagram accounts that they were on these motorized razor scooters, basically. They're called birds in
okay.
certain cities, where you can kind of pick them up and rent them and then just scoot around the city. And they were just scooting around and having a good time. And it was really cool to see. So they're bonding on this trip for sure. This trip that will take them all over.
It's crazy.
Minnesota,
yeah.
Chicago, Arizona, Vegas.
Mm-hmm. It's this trip that they do, and they do this. They did it last year. Now, Vegas, of course, you know, was brand new, so they're not a traditional stop
right.
on the tour.
Well, not they are now.
But they are now. But it is that really wonky travel schedule, because it's like central. Then that weird, who knows, like even Kaylee a couple weeks ago was like, I don't know,
is
that
no
the
idea.
Mountain time zone? I don't even know what time zone.
No idea what time zones I'm going to be in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one for them because of when it usually comes. And,
oh, yeah, Colorado, too. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah, and I tell people, because I lived, you know, in the central time zone. Central time zone's awesome. But when you're traveling, when I would come back home to Florida and stuff, I would get so thrown off being in Central because you don't feel it. You
right.
only see it on a clock.
Right.
You don't feel, you know, you're, you know, taking a trip, you know, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, the Vegas game.
And you're going to feel that. You'll be like,
yes.
Oh, I'm confused.
Yes.
You've
no.
done it before.
Yeah, I'm flying out on a Wednesday and I'm coming home on a Sunday and I took Monday off so I could sleep.
Yeah, and when you go to Minnesota and you go to Chicago and you go to St. Louis, you don't feel that.
Right. It's not as
It's like a clock change.
Right.
You're just like, oh, okay. So instead of, you know, 9 p.m., my shows come on at 8 p.m. That's literally the only difference.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe that's the, I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
You've given up.
I love time zones and the wacky science behind them, but yeah. I don't know. Just this trip, I like they're getting out now.
Yeah, and getting out to Vegas early.
Although, just want to get to Vegas early.
I just want to get to Vegas. But, like, it's tough. They got a game in Vegas on Friday night, and then the next night they're in Arizona. So it's like, I hope that Vegas flu doesn't happen again.
I don't think. I think we heard last year from somebody in the organization, I think, that what teams started doing, somebody was telling us this, that they started leaving right after the Vegas games.
That's good.
To kind of avoid that. I don't know if it was somebody from the Lightning or somebody
yeah.
I was just talking to at the arena or whatever, but they said, no, teams are actually now just kind of leaving, getting out of town.
Yeah.
Which
Makes
a lot
sense.
Of times they do.
Yeah, yeah. No, they don't.
They don't hang out.
Yeah, they're not flying to, you know, Minnesota and hanging out, you know.
No.
They're getting out of town and getting to their next city
yeah.
for play. So all good stuff this season. I mean, like he was saying, the penalty kill. I mean, that was something they needed to fix. And everybody kind of who was picking the Lightning to be there at the end this season was saying that it's going to be special teams that's going to make the difference. And I think we're really seeing that. I mean, they've had a bunch of shorthanded goals
mm-hmm.
While killing off a power play. They're using their speed. They're really being more aggressive, like Joe said, and it's starting to pay off for them. And I really love Matthew Joseph on that power or that penalty kill.
Yeah,
he's so like I think Braden Point is fast. I think Matthew Joseph is even faster.
Yeah, you think so?
This kid is so impressive. I'm just, you know,
I really like how these young guys sit in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they, and we've been talking about this, what is our fifth season? We've probably been talking about this for 4 years now, that the system is so well put together
mm-hmm.
that these guys are plug and play.
Yep.
Okay, you're coming from Syracuse or you're coming, you know, back
from anywhere.
Norfolk,
yeah.
And boop, there you go. and now you're here. And, you know, for injury reasons or whatever, you know, like, you know, Matthew Joseph, there's probably not a lot of people that really put a lot of eggs in him being in the final roster basket, maybe in August, you know, right. Like, oh, well, that'll be nice to see how he does.
Right.
But he's earned his way.
Absolutely.
And he's stepping up to the plate and his speed. I mean, I just, I love watching him in Braden Point skate.
Yeah. Well, I love the line, Sorelli, Killorn, and Joseph. I think that's a great line.
I think it's perfectly balanced.
It is. You know, and Sorelli and Joseph played a lot together in Syracuse, so that's why they're having so much chemistry right now. But I just, you know, they've just done such a great job with that kid and the system to where they are, you know. All right, next guy up, because they're teaching the system in Syracuse.
Right.
You know, and it just makes it's a feeder system, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they get up here, they're not trying to have to learn all these different plays and how they do things and their defensive scheme and all of that. They're just ready to go. So bravo on everybody at the Lightning, because you're really seeing the dividends.
You are, and that's what successful teams. That's how they get there. They build a system. They just don't have the NHL team. Of course, the NHL team is important. But guess what? Syracuse is a pretty darn good team too.
Absolutely,
and
they're just as important, because when our guys go down, guess who's coming up?
Yep, and we don't have those issues. We don't worry when we see somebody went down with an injury, of course, but, you know, this one's going to be coming down. Oh, okay, yeah, not really, not that end of world, because we know what we're getting.
Right.
I just think that Matthew Joseph really has taken it by surprise the way Braden Point did.
Absolutely. And do you think, okay, so I was sitting with my friend kind of talking about stuff, life. No.
Why did you say it like, with my friend?
Well,
like, you have one friend.
Well, you. Like, yeah, that's it.
That's how you said it.
But, so remember how we always would talk about the slow starts?
Yeah.
Like, they
really
got to come out of the gate. They really got to get going. Not even, like, slow starts speaking in, like, season, but, mm-hmm. like, game by game. Do you think they've fixed that a little bit?
I think they have. Now,
I don't think they're playing a full 60 minutes yet.
Correct. Yeah.
I think the starts are getting better. Like, it's not taking them 10 minutes to kind of warm up. Like, they're coming out and they're just starting to attack.
Yeah, we used to have this situation with the Lightning where it was the first period was, and then they were the kings of the second period.
Right.
And they were the kings of the second period for two or three seasons.
Yeah.
Where the second period, man, watch out for the Lightning. And the season so far, it's been great first periods.
Nothing.
And then that lull in the second, and then, you know, we saw it in Minnesota that they were able to get it back together to tie it up. But that second period, we're just not used to seeing it. And I think it's because the starting, aside from opening night against the Panthers, that was just
opening night.
That was, it was opening night. It was not their, best effort.
They got the first shot in on that one, but, they picked it up the rest of the game.
Yeah, they did. And Vancouver was a owie.
Yeah, that was a little. But I feel like I'm not sitting in my seat going,
get it
okay,
together.
Guys, I'm here. I'm ready.
Right.
Where are you?
I don't feel that at all either. And I think they're playing with a lot of confidence. I think Vasilevskiy, the fact that, by the way, 150 game.
That's awesome.
And 50th game.
That's amazing.
Think about it, because it seems like, it just doesn't. It's crazy.
Right. Last year was his first season as a number one goaltender.
Feels
but
like he's been here so long.
I know, and he's just been doing an amazing job.
I don't want to I love Vasilevskiy. I'm still concerned about his goals against. It's still high to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's just but there's times where they win games.
Behind the back saves
and
stuff.
Yeah, it's a team sport, but. I think that there's something in there's a spark or something these guys are coming out with.
I think these guys feel like they have unfinished business once again. Now, the season before last, they were 1 point out of the playoffs. So they came back with something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were good enough. We didn't put ourselves in control of our own destiny. That was our fault. That was last season. So they got into the playoffs. They got, the game beat Boston, was showing up to D.C. or Washington, and it just didn't happen for them. So I still think they think that they have something to prove.
And they do.
They do.
Because every year, We see it.
We
all
get
over.
Close.
Every year, it's, I pick the Lightning to go all the way. I pick the Lightning. They're going to, this is the year. This is the, da-da-da-da. And then, unfortunately, fortunately, I mean, let's be honest. We're a bunch of, we're spoiled here.
We are. We see some amazing hockey every night.
It is very difficult to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to get to the Conference Finals. And these guys have done it, what, 4 out of 5 years?
Something like that, yeah.
And we're complaining about it.
And we're, yeah. But, you know, they're not getting over that hump.
Right.
They're not coming home with Lord Stanley. So,
yeah.
And I think really this year they sat down, doubled down, and looked at what do we need to do to get over that hump that we just can't seem to ascend to.
And I wonder.
I think they did it. I mean, I think they're doing it. We're seeing it.
I think so. And I'll tell you, they always bring in that one player. It's always like every year they bring in the one player. Mm-hmm. And he's, even though maybe it's, Brendan Morrow was one of them.
Right.
You know, last year,
JT Miller?
No, not JT, no? JT Miller from the Penguins.
Oh, Chris Kunitz.
You know, we bring in these, this is the guy.
Right.
This is the guy that's going to, you know, give that extra little
tip
something.
The scale. Yeah.
The something. And it, I think I like this year. No, we're not doing that. We're doing this on our own, on our rules, the way we want to do it. We're putting our, you know, we don't need that. And I liked Chris Kunitz being here. I liked all those guys.
But it wasn't the thing they needed.
Yeah. I feel like what they needed was 60 minutes of hockey for 82 games.
And special teams.
And special teams.
Special teams.
Well, that counts in the 60 minutes.
It does. But I think that's going to be the main difference.
I think so, too.
And you know, specifically the penalty kill.
Yeah.
Which has been crazy.
It's laughable. I mean, it's not funny. It's just like, oh, this is crazy.
Well, hey, that's what breaking it down, putting in the work, figuring out. I mean, that's coaching.
Yeah.
And also the face-offs have gotten a lot better, too. And apparently somebody was saying that Jeff Halpern, like, sits there and watches every single face-offs and breaks them all down. It's crazy.
Wow.
It's amazing. Anyway, so we're going to take a quick break and come back with more Game Misconduct. We're back with more Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
You can follow us on all social media channels at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. So we've talked to Joe Smith today. We've talked about the start of the Lightning, which has been pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about something that's NHL.com has brought to light, and maybe some of us haven't noticed it because we're normally winning.
Yeah, I mean, Lightning fans aren't going to notice.
Yeah, the Lightning are normally winning.
Well, you know, go ahead, and then I'll give you the one time we have seen it so far.
Okay, but the headline on NHL.com was pulling goalies earlier, getting trendier in NHL.
Right, and if you watch the Detroit game,
right,
I know you guys are all watching, you probably went, wow, that's okay. They don't have a goalie for the entire third period.
No,
it felt like it though.
It was over 2 minutes.
It was over 2 minutes, and I was thinking
and they were down by two, right? One.
No, they were down by one. They were down by one. And I'm not the biggest fan. In general, of pulling goalies. But to pull it at like 2 minutes and some odd seconds to me is like, what are you doing? This is not, you know, this is a good, you're playing the Lightning. You got how many guys? Anybody can score on you, especially when you leave the net open. And I'm just not a fan in general of pulling the goalie. I know it's exciting and people think it's fun, but I just am like, odds are never really. It doesn't usually work out. It works out sometimes. But you kind of brought up this very interesting scientific mathematical equation about it.
Yeah, so I was listening to NHL radio on Sirius XM, and they were discussing this, and I don't know if it was this article that sparked it, but they were talking about how there had been statistical breakdowns of how if you're down by one goal, you pull the goaltender with like 2 minutes and 30 seconds because every 30 seconds you get a quality shot on goal. And then if you're down by two goals, you pull them by 3 minutes and 30 seconds. And I'm like, wow, that is a long time.
That's crazy.
So, like, apparently, like, some coaches are using this statistic to decide when to pull the goaltender when, you know, they have a face-off out of their zone.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of saw that you know, because it was that afternoon, I think I heard it. And so I was watching to see when they were going to pull the goaltender. And they pulled him about 2:15 when they finally got the faceoff out of their zone.
Well, it's caused such a ripple maybe in the NHL, this whole thing, that Mike Sullivan, the coach of the Penguins, is like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, he's basically like,
whether my team is winning or my team is the team that's pulling their goaltender, I'm a nervous wreck. I can only imagine how the coach feels about it. And then the goaltender who's been in the game the whole time, they can't do anything. How is that? I always feel bad for the goaltender who's pulled to try to get that extra man on the ice, because he's either kept them in the game to this point to where they're only one goal away and they can't do anything to save it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, he's, you know, the reason why they're one goal down. But I don't know. Look, it's exciting for everybody. Everybody stands up and watches and everybody's excited. I'm biting my nails and down to like the nubs when they pull a goaltender, when we're the team who's down.
Well, the other thing that...
But it's not something that's new to the game.
No.
It's so early. Normally they wouldn't pull it until the last minute of the
game. Maybe minute. Like,
right.
You know...
If the statistics are correct, that's only two quality shots on goal.
Oh. Well, the other thing, we should ask our stat friend.
Yes,
we should ask him about it. But the thing, when you pull a goalie, the one thing that you notice all the time... And maybe this is why I'm like, I don't get the point, is there's usually a defenseman that hangs back.
Right.
And I'm always like, but
that's
not even...
the goaltender.
Not even up there in the action.
Play. Yeah.
So who cares?
What's the point?
What's the point in this?
Unless you've got a good shooting defenseman.
And
like
we do. Yeah, sure. We got a couple of them. But they're the makeshift goalie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, listen, go back to my childhood. Good old Ron Hextall scored a couple goals for the Flyers.
Yeah.
Back, you know, in... It happens.
Right.
It happens. Ben Bishop a few years ago scored a couple empty netters.
And I always feel like when the team who isn't pulling their goaltender, you know, they're the ones who are up in the game. I always feel like if they do score an empty net goal, they're like, eh. It wasn't that hard.
Well, although Tyler Johnson got his hat trick on one.
Right. But the Detroit game, you know, when they scored a couple of empty goals, it was like, yay. Which is fine, because, like, although it's gotten a lot harder to score empty net goals lately because teams have really clamped down and on the neutral zone. Mm-hmm. And, like, they'll fight. They just, once it gets out of the zone that they want it to be in, they don't just give up. They really try to, like, not let the play get into their net.
The other good thing about... I guess the positive spin, talking about what we were talking about earlier in the show, is Braden Point and Matthew Joseph are so fast.
Yeah.
Then it's kind of, you know, they're going to outskate
pretty much anyone.
That's a good way to put it. I was going to put like a qualifier in there. Like, I don't want to say, but they're going to outskate many. The majority of players is a fair statement. So maybe it's not that bad. I just, this whole, you know, shot quality time. I laugh because it just seems silly. I mean, so if you're down, first of all, if you're down by two goals, you normally don't pull your goalie anyway. In most cases, it's you're down a goal, you need the points to win. You're not, you know, the fact that Detroit did it
so early
is kind of weird. And the fact that we're seeing this trend as early as we're seeing it is interesting to me. I'm not sure why, because, yes, every point matters. We know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't that situation, but, you know, a very scary situation with Stroman taking the puck to the net. You know, we have a diving to block, not diving as in, you know, flopping diving, but, you know, blocking shots with your body is a big thing. I think now you're putting more pressure on players to do those sorts of scary stunts when there's no goaltender like Vasilevsky or, you know, any goaltender to kind of be your safety net. And I don't know I'm not clearly a coach. I don't think I would implement that. I think I would take the Mike Sullivan route. And when the Lightning get to the point where they need to do that. I'm trying to think. I don't think Coopers traditionally, I mean, they're not really in that situation. Let's put it that way, to where they need to do it. But we don't see him do it that often.
No.
So hopefully we don't, you know, we don't see the lightning. I just think it's weird. I think it's like weird that you mathematically came, they not you, not CT didn't do this.
No, okay, nothing with math. CT. I did absolutely nothing involving any math. I can't even like count up how long our show is on my fingers. No, carry the one, it just gets ugly.
She's just the one that kind of brought it to my attention. And I'm just, I think it's weird. I think it's strange.
It's a gamble. I mean, it's a gamble.
It's a gamble to begin with. And now you're leaving your team for 2 minutes and 30 seconds open. Right. Not a minute and 30 seconds, which I've always been like, yikes, a minute and 30 seconds. Now we're talking about, you know, what's next? You just don't play a goalie at all.
Just, yeah, no, we're not going to do that.
I mean, so do you think it's, I mean, you don't like it as a fan.
Right, as a fan, I'm a nervous freaking wreck. But, I can only imagine what the guys are like on the ice.
But what do you think about it like a strategy?
I mean, any chance to give your team to win is a good one, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
And the more time that they have, and more teams and players are becoming, even the offensive players are becoming more defensively minded.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why, because a lot more players are being asked to play a two-way game. So instead of just having two defensemen and five forwards or adding that extra forward, mm-hmm. they're kind of like defenseman B.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe they feel more confident that, you know, if they've got a player on the ice who is a sniper, but they're also able to defend when asked to.
Like a headman.
Like a headman.
But not everybody has a headman.
Or like a Yanni Gourde, who's just as good as on offense as he is back-checking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and we've got a bunch of guys on our team that are like that. So maybe that's part of the thought into why they're pulling them so early. I don't know. But it's a really interesting article.
Very interesting.
Something to kind of look at as you kind of look at all the teams that are playing this season. And it's by Paul McLean on the NHL.com website. So take a look at that. And then when you're at a game and somebody pulls a goaltender, be like, oh, okay. And then start counting down for 30 seconds increments and see how many shots they get.
Yeah. Again, we don't see it often because the Lightning aren't in
that situation
a lot.
We're very lucky.
And then even when they are, I don't know. I get the feeling he's not the biggest fan of pulling the wool because he doesn't do it a lot.
No, he
really doesn't. It's usually later in the season trying to make a push.
When those points really, you know, are critical.
I just think it's weird.
It's not my favorite part of the game. Let's just be real about that, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so that's it for this week of Game Misconduct. You can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Next week's show is going to kind of be an interesting hybrid of a show because I'm going to be in Vegas for the Lightning game. And if any of you guys are going to be out there, make sure you tweet us and let me know so I can see you at the game. I'm super excited to get
at the concert.
We don't need to talk about the other reason why I'm going to Vegas, because it'll completely ruin my street cred. And no, I'm not going to see Donnie and Marie, okay?
Celine Dion.
Nope, she's not singing there. I think it's.
Why do you know the whole lineup? Go ahead.
Because, dude, there's another show out there called I Love the 90s with like Salt and Pepper and All for One and all that. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like a fun show to go to. Hey, that'd be fun. I'm going to wear my scrunchie and my fanny pack. It's all good, man.
Nice.
All right. So, yeah, if you're going to be out there, make sure you tweet us at Game Misconduct. I have a feeling that a lot of people might travel for this one because it's a Friday night game.
Yeah, why not?
So if you're going to be out there, let me know. If not, we will catch you next week on a new edition of Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.